It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Governor Tony Evers signed two bills into law this week to give more support to Wisconsin's emergency medical service providers and the workforce of first medical responders.
One new law provides more funding for education in EMS courses, lessening the cost for someone to get licensed. The other raises the Medicaid reimbursement rate for EMS providers if the call ends without transporting someone to the hospital. And the state will also launch a pilot project to allow video connections for some 911 calls.
This comes as EMS providers have faced staffing shortages. According to a 2023 report from the State Office of Rural Health, roughly 2 in 5 agencies reported periods where they didn't have adequate staff to send out an ambulance.
We're joined by Alan D. Young, Executive Director of the Wisconsin EMS Association. Alan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You supported this legislation. Why are these new laws needed for the EMS system in our state?
Well, you mentioned it before, EMS is facing a critical and almost crisis level on the staffing side, where less and less volunteers and even less individuals are just getting into EMS as a career as a whole. And additionally to that, the second biggest crisis we have is funding. We've relied on volunteers for decades, and so they've been basically subsidizing the taxpayer through not charging anything to the local tax system for it. But due to the shortage of volunteers and individuals getting into it, that's starting to need to change.
Why are less people getting into EMS as a career?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. Definitely work-life balance is a key one. I know many individuals in EMS that work 3 to 4 jobs themselves. And so this may not be their full-time. Many times it's not, especially in rural areas, but even if it is their full-time career, it's one of the toughest jobs because you're literally dealing with life and death. You're seeing the worst of the worst, but also at the same token, you can have the greatest impact on your community, but it's not easy to do. So it's not something people are jumping to, but we're hoping to change that.
Along the lines of the cost, this law would create a reimbursement program for people who want to become licensed emergency medical responders. Is the cost of licensure and continuing training holding back people who want to have a career in EMS?
I would definitely say definitely that's one of the major factors versus going to, you know, like, let's say a 4-year school or a 4-year degree or anything like that. Cost plays a role, especially if you are getting into it and then knowing that you may not be paid very much, especially compared to our counterparts and maybe in like police or even just really any other industry. There's areas where, you know, you can work at a Quick Trip and make more than you do as an EMT or AEMT. So cost is definitely a factor, and we are very excited about this bill passing, actually, to help individuals throughout all of Wisconsin.
What excites you most about this new law or these two new laws?
Yeah, so Wisconsin Act 35, as it is now, essentially, in a simple way, pays for all EMS education throughout the state. Now it's done through a reimbursement. So obviously we want people to pass their programs and get licensed, get certified. But the way the bill was structured is it basically reimburses either the individual, so like the student, or their employer. And that's where employer is vague. An employer does not have to be an EMS agency. It can be, definitely. But I could also see many of our Wisconsin employers taking an even a more active role in getting individuals trained in emergency medical response. So you could think of like manufacturers who do have to typically abide by some OSHA safety standards with first aid and CPR. Well, now they could even send people to become EMRs, EMTs. Those individuals might even consider volunteering then in their local community because they do have a full-time job that is supporting them, or they might choose to take it further as a career themselves. But this allows any employer in the state to support not only their staff, but really support more individuals getting into EMS, getting trained in emergency medical response. And we're really, really excited about that component of it.
And these training courses, licensing courses, they're happening through the state state's technical college system. Are EMS training programs around the state short-staffed at all?
Definitely, yes. We are short-staffed on instructors. So a second part of this act actually provides grants to each technical college to increase enrollment in these EMS programs. And it's vague enough that I believe that they should be able to use it on hiring more instructors or expanding programs in whatever way that they see fit, but expanding them so we can increase the number of individuals that are in the programs. And if they, because a lot of times if they don't have enough individuals enrolled, they might have to cancel that class because there is a minimum amount they need. So these grants might help offset, you know, hosting a smaller class just because in the end, we need more people.
Alan DeYoung is Executive Director of Wisconsin EMS Association as we talk about legislation that is recently signed into law that aims to help Wisconsin's struggling EMS departments. So in addition to education funding, Alan, another new law raises the current amount EMS providers are reimbursed by Medicaid when a patient is not taken to the hospital. How much of a financial impact will this have on EMS departments in Wisconsin?
I think fairly significant, but not in the grand scheme huge, but I think it's a great step in the right direction because I think most of the public doesn't realize that, you know, if EMS doesn't transport you, they receive no reimbursement at all. Mm-hmm. And so if there's no funding on a local level or even just very little funding on a local level, which is the typical case, that's where the funding shortages come into play. So this kind of helps to say, look, we're not pushing towards transporting people if they don't need to be. And this actually incentivizes more of that on-scene care. Because remember, EMS it's all emergency medical response, but it's up to a point of, you know, paramedics train many of their skills of what a physician would do in terms of their scope. And so there's a lot of things we can do on scene for treating as what's needed, but we need some type of reimbursement for that because you use supplies and sometimes it can be just like a simple lift assist or something like that that wouldn't typically be reimbursed. So under private and Medicare, we don't get any reimbursement at all. And under Medicaid, we were reimbursed $69 for not transporting somebody, which is still very minimal, you know, covers gas kind of thing. But now at least that's going up to $175. So it's a significant increase from what it was. So that's great. And we're hopeful that we can keep seeing more put into on-scene care rather than just reimbursing a transport.
Another thing that caught our attention was establishing grant funding for a live 911 pilot program that would allow some dispatchers to connect with callers by video call. How might this work?
So, yeah, we're very hopeful with that, too, because as you can imagine, the more information a dispatcher can get, the better that EMS is informed when they, you know, before they're getting to the scene. So, ideally with any type of video sharing or even texting or things like that. So it's widespread to try to incentivize, look, you shouldn't always have to either, you know, if you're dialing 911, you only have that voice communication. So a video communication can really showcase more of a scene if need be. Or even like, let's just say somebody needs CPR and there's a bystander that calls and like, you can share your video, showcase what's around, and maybe it's even helping with an AED or something that the dispatcher can do over the phone when EMS is en route. Or even just being able to text in case maybe you can't call from where you are, but you still need to.
How far away are we from this?
So this is just a pilot program. So this is kind of let's see how this can work, see how it can be scaled then. Right now, there is only $100,000 in grant funding for this fiscal year for the live 911 pilot. But obviously, in the future, that's the goal is trying to see, can we expand that more? And then what's realistic as well of how do we implement this on the technology side of things.
And one more thing here. Why is the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs tasked with developing this pilot program?
Well, most of dispatch falls under under the counties, under PSAP centers. So your local sheriff and that all falls under that umbrella. And so it's mandated that you have to have, sheriff, of course, and that kind of 911 system. But, EMS by itself is considered non-essential by state law, at least for cities, villages, and counties. But everybody in the public, we deem it as essential. We expect when you dial 911, somebody's going to show up. So this is all kind of part of the interconnected system.
We said at the top that roughly 2 in 5 agencies had reported periods where they didn't have adequate staff to send out an ambulance. How much more work needs to be done to fortify the EMS system in our state?
I definitely think quite a bit, at least on the local level. That's where individuals really can make a change, because it's your local government that decides how EMS is basically going to be sort of structured on their level. What type of response do they want? How quickly? Because it's based on how much funding goes into it. Most public don't realize that taxpayer funds, especially in some areas, don't go to EMS at all. Other areas, they do go to EMS, but it's definitely a smaller amount compared to almost any other services in your local government. So we have to kind of rethink how we're supporting EMS, because you never know when you're going to need it. It's kind of like your homeowner's insurance. You hope nothing ever happens to your house, but you never know when you're going to need it. And the last thing you want is, when you do need it, someone isn't able to show up because maybe they're on another call and you're only paying to staff one ambulance, maybe in your area. And so, we just have to kind of rethink that as the public.
Alan, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Alan D. Young is the executive director of the Wisconsin EMS Association, as we've been talking about new laws that aim to strengthen Wisconsin EMS system and the workforce of EMS responders.